It's Mountain Edition.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 46 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
One in every five people is affected in some way by mental illness.
A grassroots organization aimed at helping those dealing with mental illness is hosting a support group.
Local lawmakers are searching for ways to save jobs from the coming closure of Our Lady of Belfont Hospital.
A local unit of the NAACP is considering the creation of a modern green book.
Major legal hurdles stand in the way of a bill aiming to do away with daylight savings time in the state.
An evolving voter ID bill made its way through the Kentucky Senate Thursday.
In sports, Rowan County girls basketball welcomes Russell tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
30% chance of rain tonight with a low around 35. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A grassroots organization aimed at helping individuals, friends, and families dealing with mental illness is hosting a support group in Moorhead Tuesday. Carol Mariallo is the president of the Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. She says the group can help individuals dealing with a wide range of issues.
We're a grassroots organization started by families of people who have family members or friends who have mental illness, major mental illnesses like bipolar and schizophrenia and PTSD, and lots of them today, or lots of combinations of those.
The group will meet in the Rowan County Public Library Conference Room at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. The group will be showing a film at the meeting entitled The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Local lawmakers are searching for ways to save the 1,000 jobs that could be lost from the closure of Our Lady of Belfont Hospital. Rocky Atkins, senior advisor to Governor Andy Beshear, tells WSAZ he and other lawmakers were not in the loop about the closure until news was released Tuesday morning. Atkins went on to say if the Beshear administration had known about the shortcomings that OLBH was facing, they would have been able to help. When Our Lady of Belfont Hospital announced they would be closing their doors in September, Atkins was shocked.
I'm not going to accept this, and I don't think the governor is going to accept it either. And we're going to try to find ways to put this puzzle back together. And I am hopeful that Mercy and Belfont are willing to maybe continue discussions.
Currently, there are no specific plans in place to save the hospital from closure.
It appears the coronavirus has made its way to Kentucky, but you don't have to worry. Here's KNN's Haley Hansen.
The CDC and World Health Organization confirm that a case of the new coronavirus is in the U.S. Scott Lockard, a Kentucky public health director, tells WIMT the virus is in Kentucky, but
there's no cause for alarm. If somebody goes to the doctor and they're told that they have a virus or their child has a coronavirus, again, it can be the common cold.
The coronavirus does not have a vaccine and is a new strain, which is why it's being monitored so closely. I'm Haley Hansen.
A local unit of the NAACP says they are considering the creation of a modern green book after recently racially charged incidents in Kentucky. A green book is a collective list of establishments that are non-discriminatory towards people of color and are safe spaces. Green books were originally created in the early 20th century as a way to protect people of color from lynching and other racist violence. The creation of a modern green book stems from racist incidents in Lexington, one of which happened at the restaurant Storming Crab. A manager tells LEX 18 the restaurant fired an employee for saying something racist to a coworker. Dynasty Gardner says she then ended up losing her job as well after the restaurant said she violated a non-disclosure agreement.
It's 2020. People are grown. Even if you're not grown, you should know that. In the workplace, I feel like that's something that the manager themselves needs to lay down. Like, this is not something we are standing for. And once something like that happens, they need to be immediately terminated.
This encounter is just one NAACP leaders and their community partners point to when they say a modern green book may be imminent.
Some major legal hurdles stand in the way of a bill aiming to do away with daylight savings time in the Commonwealth. Kentucky would join dozens of other states interested in making daylight savings time permanent. It's a movement embodied in social media hashtags like Ditch the Switch and Lock the Clock, but there's a problem. Federal law allows states to opt out of DST altogether, but states that remain on daylight savings time must stick to the federally mandated dates. Representative Jerry Miller says the current Kentucky proposals would act like a trigger law, moving the state to permanent daylight savings time if Congress ever okays it.
And so if the feds did this, the state does that. And there's some, we're working through the constitutional issues about whether, how legal is that.
For now, the issue is back in the hands of state lawmakers, and Miller says the bill may morph into a resolution calling on the federal government to grant states the leeway to lock in daylight savings time. Proponents argue there are economic and health benefits, while opponents worry darker mornings could have negative impacts on safety.
Updates to the state's wide-ranging school safety overhaul, including new language arming school resource officers, cruised through committee yesterday. But some questions still loom when it comes to funding and how the state's largest school district may react. Jefferson County public school leaders have struggled with the idea of arming school safety officers, but Senator Max Wise says the surveys he's seen show overwhelming support among those sending their kids to school.
We're not arming teachers. We're not going down that path. But if we're putting sworn law enforcement officers, they will have a gun. And I think that the expectation of parents is that that officer will be equipped with a firearm.
On the funding question, Wise says it will be up to House and Senate revenue committees to hammer out proposals.
An evolving voter ID bill made its way through the Kentucky Senate Thursday on a party line vote. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Senate Bill 2 requires a photo ID at the polls to vote, with some new added exceptions, and has been the topic of intense debate in the opening weeks of the 2020 legislative session. That continued on the Senate floor Thursday. This is sponsor Robbie Mills and Lexington Democrat Reggie Thomas.
If our vote is as valuable as we all say it is, we should do all we can do to protect it and to make sure that everyone who is who they say they are on the day that they show up and vote.
This bill is designed to frustrate, that's it, to suppress the right of voters here in Kentucky without any proof, allegation, or substantiation that we have a problem with voter fraud.
While both sides acknowledged a lack of in-person voter fraud convictions in the state, proponents said that doesn't mean it isn't or cannot happen. They also contend the bill will increase confidence in elections. The measure now heads to the House. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457. A Kentucky native will be in Los Angeles this weekend to potentially receive a Grammy Award. Josh Wrinkle is from Shepherdsville. He and his band, the Poe Ramblin' Boys, have been nominated for Bluegrass Album of the Year for their record Toil, Tears, and Trouble. Wrinkle is a self-taught musician, and he tells WDRB the nomination has been a lot for him and his bandmates to take in.
It's something that we didn't even dream about. We can't say it was a dream of ours because we didn't even think it was within reach. I don't know, I just don't feel like I deserve it just because there's so many people in the business that are twice my age and has never gotten any kind of recognition like this.
The Grammys air this Sunday at 8 p.m.
New testimony was offered on Wednesday in the hearing of a Rockcastle County woman accused of murder. According to WKYT, Melissa Wolke is charged in the death of Donald Abner in an attack that involved a vicious dog. Kentucky State Police Detective Ryan Loudermilk testified a neighbor called the police and videoed the attack with his phone.
The caller stated to the detective that he deleted it because it made him sick to watch it.
Officers who examined the phone were unable to recover the video and say no additional surveillance video could be found in the area.
Kentucky State Police have identified the victim of a fatal crash in Floyd County. Police say 34-year-old Conley Fork native Eric Terry was walking on Route 80 in Martin, Kentucky, when he was hit and killed by a vehicle near the Garrett exit. Investigators have issued a toxicology test and are awaiting results. According to KSP, it is not clear why Terry was in the road.
The trial date has been set for a Carter County man accused of setting fire to his relative's porch. The Ashland Independent reports 68-year-old Larry Harris of Olive Hill underwent psychiatric evaluation throughout 2019 to determine if he was fit to stand trial. Harris is accused of setting fire to the porch following a night of drinking and an argument with his brother-in-law. Harris was arrested without incident on August 13th of 2018. His trial is set for March.
Three men are charged with burglarizing a Bell County property less than 24 hours after a fatal fire. WYMT reports three children and a grandmother died in the fire on Hurst Hollow Road January 7th. The Bell County Sheriff's Department says sometime between the fire and January 8th, a small camper on that same property was burglarized. Multiple items were stolen from the camper, including firearms, a generator, a wire welder, carbide maps, and copper wire. Investigators discovered that 20-year-old Dylan Nichols and his 55-year-old father, Ralph Nichols, pawned the firearms stolen from the camper. On Wednesday, investigators found Dylan, Ralph, and Devereaux Wilder on the property. All three were arrested. Dylan and Ralph were charged with third-degree burglary, receiving stolen property, and theft. Wilder had an outstanding warrant. All were taken to the Bell County Detention Center.
FedEx has issued a warning to customers about a scam using the company's name to steal personal information. WMKY's Gage Webb has more.
Customers are receiving text messages that ask them to follow a link and set up delivery preferences. The messages include tracking numbers and customer names, seeming like a real message from FedEx. The link takes customers to a scam website which had people give their personal information and credit card information in order for the person to receive a free gift. On Wednesday, FedEx tweeted that they do not send unsolicited text or emails requesting money, package, or personal information. Suspicious messages should be deleted without being opened and reported to abuse@fedex.com, according to FedEx's tweet. For WMKY News, I'm Gage Webb.
The former University of Kentucky student accused of crashing his car into and killing a toddler appeared in court on Thursday. Jacob Heil is accused of driving under the influence and reckless homicide after he crashed into and killed 4-year-old Marco Shamwell in September 2019. WKYT learned more about the incident from the hearing on January 23rd. Heil's attorney asked the judge to allow the jury to visit the crash scene. He believes if the jury visits the location, they will be able to reach a more informed verdict. The judge granted the attorney's request to allow them to visit. Heil's trial date is set for April 6th.
One person is injured after an accidental shooting near the Big Lots in Prestonsburg. Police say a contracted employee of Big Lots was injured, though they could not release the extent of those injuries. Officers stressed that there was no cause for concern or danger to the public. Police have not yet released how the accidental shooting happened.
And now taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, 30% chance of rain, otherwise cloudy with a low around 35. Saturday, 30% chance of rain and snow, otherwise cloudy with a high near 37. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain and snow, cloudy with a low around 33. Sunday, cloudy with a high near 38. Sunday night, 30% chance of snow, mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Monday, 30% chance of rain and snow, cloudy with a high near 40. And now taking a look at some of the current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. It's currently 46 degrees in Lexington, 48 degrees in Inez and Winchester, 47 degrees in Grayson, 50 degrees in Ashland, and it's 46 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff wonders if anyone is innocent when it comes to a certain crime against culture.
A prisoner who was a student of mine once noted in a speech that the number of capital crimes during the 1990s skyrocketed, increasing by 60 in one brief period of the Clinton administration. The number of crimes one could be put to death for had multiplied, it seemed, overnight. So it is today with crimes against people, which I shall call sociocultural crimes, some of which are statutory, but many of which are constructs that can lead to social destruction quite outside the law. One such apparently unforgivable offense is called cultural appropriation. This sociocultural crime involves the taking of something created by someone else and treating it as if you'd invented it or didn't care who did. Trouble is, a hard look finds that anyone who uses anything in our modern society is constantly committing the crime of cultural appropriation by virtue of how human progress works. And because our inventions are culturally located, all such appropriation is cultural appropriation. And because we all do this thing so often, we might want to rethink the charges, given our shared guilt. Granted, some forms of cultural appropriation are ham-handed. Some are ridiculous or ridiculing. Some are intended to be signs of admiration, but end up looking like ridicule. But beyond those obvious cases of juvenile representation and crass oversimplification or stereotyping, nearly everything we have and do came about because of a synthesis of cultural strands, a text, we might say, of cultural influence. Let's look at some. Concrete? Are you Roman? If not, you'd better start apologizing for walking on the sidewalk, driving, and having a floor to stand on in many buildings. Toilets that flush. Are you British? Better hit the outhouse next time to avoid charges, and thank the Romans again for the sewer system, and oh, if you surf the web while in the loo, thanks to Mr. Berners-Lee, another British lad. Peanut butter much? Be thankful to Mr. George Washington Carver, but don't feel guilty for loving it. I don't think he'd mind. Jelly? Mass production and safe consumption can happen thanks to that most wonderful Frenchman, Louis Pasteur. Bread? Thank the Egyptians while you cover it in butter, courtesy of the ancient Sumerians. Dig guitar music? Thank those jamming Spanish. Wear pants? Hats off to our Chinese friends. TV lover? Thank that adorable American Philo Farnsworth. Radio? Flip a coin between those brilliant immigrants, Tesla and Marconi. We could go on, but the clock, that some say was invented by that indefatigable Italian Galileo, says it's time to go. But keep in mind that everything you touch and I touch today no doubt originated someplace else, and our use of these things will be repeated acts of cultural appropriation. And for this may we all be thankful. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 448 and 46 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this rainy Friday afternoon. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
The Vikings faced off with the Red Devils tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The Rowan County girls basketball team will face off with Russell tonight at home. The Vikings are looking to break a two-game loss with a win over the 13-5 Red Devils. Rowan was able to take down Russell early in the season with a two-point win, but head coach Matt Stokes says tonight's matchup will be a challenge.
Our girls' focus is they've got to be ready for us to make changes on the fly. You know, as Russell's bringing the ball down the floor, we might yell out that we're in a zone, and they have to be able to get there quick and then identify the three-point shooters that they really have to get out to.
Tip-off tonight is set for 7:30 p.m. The Viking girls also travel to Lewis County tomorrow for a 6:30 matchup. Taking a look at other 16th region girls action, West Carter met Bethlehem in the second round of the All-A-State tournament at Eastern Kentucky University this morning. The Lady Comets fell 64-43 to advance to tomorrow's semifinal round. Ashland Blazer welcomes Boyd County at 7:30. Fleming County hosts Menfee at 11 a.m. Saturday morning. Then Fairview welcomes Hannah at Ashton, West Virginia at 1 p.m. And Elliott County travels to Raceland at 2:30. In boys 16th region action this weekend, Fleming County is hosting the Coach Lake Kelly Classic this weekend. They're squaring off with Nicholas County right now. East Carter welcomes Lexington Christian tonight at 7:30. Greenup travels to Lewis County. Russell and Raceland also face off. Memphrey travels to Rose Hill Christian, and Ashland Blazer hosts Boyd, and Bath County hosts Russell. We will have scores from all of this weekend's 16th region action Monday on Morning Edition. The Morehead State University women's basketball team is wrapping up their four-game road stretch tomorrow. The Eagles are heading to Alabama for a matchup with Jacksonville State. Head coach Greg Todd says being on the road for a while can be tough on a team, but he says it's been good for them as well.
I feel like we've had some good practices this week, and we definitely know there's challenges ahead in Jacksonville State on Saturday. We played very well against them at home and got a win. They're 3-3 as well, so that game has a lot of implications also. So, yeah, it's an important road trip, and the girls, we're just asking them to get a little bit better every week.
Tip-off tomorrow afternoon is set for 3 o'clock. The Morehead State University men's basketball team will be wrapping up their four-game road swing as well tomorrow. The men will tip off following the women's game against the Gamecocks. Head coach Preston Spratlin says as his squad continues to grow this season, he says there's also a continued focus on leadership within the team.
The thing that we do is we tell those guys and we tell their teammates, because you're a captain, we're going to hold you to a little higher standard than we do the rest of the guys. And sometimes, like you're talking about the offense-defense argument, sometimes it's, well, I'm a captain, I should be able to get away with a little bit more. But it's complete opposite. I think that the standard is higher, and so you can get on those guys a little more.
Tip-off for the men tomorrow is set for 5 o'clock. Five-star recruit Khalil Whitney from the University of Kentucky is set to transfer. According to WKYT, the UK freshman announced a decision in a tweet today. Whitney said playing at UK was a dream of his, but his time in the blue and white has not gone as he'd hoped. The tweet explained that now, as unconventional as it may seem, Whitney intends to do what is best for his future. He played in 18 games for the Wildcats this season, averaging about 13 minutes per game, scoring 60 points in total. The freshman thanked the coaching staff, teammates, and the Big Blue Nation for their support. Whitney did not say where he would transfer to. The National Football League has released their concussion report for 2019. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
The NFL says the number of concussions that players had suffered increased slightly in 2019 over the previous season. The league said in total there were 224 concussions. That's 10 more than in 2018. But those totals are way down from the 281 count in 2017. The total includes concussions from practices and games in both the preseason and regular season. The league said that it did 485 concussion evaluations in preseason and regular season games this season. The league said about one-third of concussion evaluations in the regular season have some element of self-report. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson reporting.
And finally in sports this afternoon, a former UK wide receiver and NFL trainer was arrested Tuesday in connection with an accusation of an assault. 35-year-old former Wildcat Glenn Holt and his 31-year-old trainee Antonio Brown allegedly assaulted another man outside of Brown's home in Florida. Police tell LEX 18 they responded to a disturbance at the home, and Holt was arrested and charged with one count of burglary with battery. Police could not make contact with Brown at that time. Brown, an NFL free agent, turned himself in to Florida police Thursday night. Brown's lawyer reportedly told authorities Brown is innocent of the charges of burglary with battery. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball welcomes OVC opponents Southeast Missouri on Thursday, January 30th, and UT Martin on Saturday, February 1st. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell after the second U.S. case of the deadly coronavirus was confirmed, stoking concerns over the sickness's impact on the global economy. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 170.36 at 28,989.73. The S&P 500 was down 30.07 at 3295.47, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 87.57 at 9314.91. Shares of United Airlines and American both very weak today because of news about the virus, as both stocks were down over 5%. And also, news about the virus impacted your big gaming concerns that have operations in Macau, as Las Vegas Sands and Wynn Resorts both dropped more than 3%. Also on the news today, Treasury yields fell, which pushed bank shares lower. The benchmark 10-year yield dipped below 1.7%. J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Bank of America all traded more than 1.5% lower. The markets actually got off to a good start this morning because of earnings news. Shortly before the opening today, American Express reported a quarterly profit and revenue that beat market expectations. These results were driven in part by strong card fee revenues. The stock gained more than 2% and hit a record high. After the close yesterday, Intel climbed in after-hours trading, and today it was up more than 8% after its fourth-quarter numbers topped estimates, and the company also gave an optimistic outlook for the first quarter of 2020. Helping the Dow Industrials out today was strength in Boeing, as Boeing shares rose 1.7% after the FAA said it was pleased with the progress being made on the 737 MAX jet. Sources today said that the grounding of the plane could be lifted before mid-year if no new issues are reported. In the commodities markets, oil was very weak once again, down 2.2% at $54.38 a barrel. Gold lifted was up 0.38% at $1,571.10 an ounce. In Europe, stocks actually had a good day. The Stock 600 index was up 0.7%. Asia was mixed. Shanghai was very weak, down 2.75%, while the Nikkei average in Japan was up 0.8%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 26 cents at 45.06, Kroger down 24 cents at 28.20, CSX up 6 cents at 76.70, Marathon Petroleum down 84 cents at 54.49, and Yum Brands was down $1, finishing at 104.98. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg will host a concert for music education at 6 p.m. on Saturday, January 25th. Performers include Colby O'Brien, Wayne Graham, Magnolia Boulevard, Luna and the Mountain Jets, and others. Tickets range from $15 to $25.
The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Society will conduct its annual meeting at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, January 27th. The meeting will be held at the Rowan County Public Library. Season ticket holders and all members of the society are invited to attend.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boy, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Wyatt Melton, Gage Webb, Cody Robinson, Shamari Mosley, Michael Green, Sarah Fashipe, Chaz Jenkins, and Sarah Mead. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.